What's up, friends? My name is Greta, and I'm here with Godfinite Next Generation TV show. Today we're talking about how to help others that have struggled with temptation. And this study that we've been talking about, just kind of discussing at the table, has been on temptation. But today we're going to learn some tools and just guidance on how to navigate that with your friends, to be there for them. So today I'm joined with my other lovely co-hosts. I have Erin Dennis, and she's 21 and she's studying as a student, a senior in college. And she's super into music and playing the piano and writing songs, and she's absolutely fantastic at it. And then I have Lucy, who is 18, who's a freshman in college, and she just has the sweetest spirit and is so spirit-led. And full of creativity and life, and you can just tell that when you talk to her. And she enjoys writing in her spare time, as well as listening to music. And then I have Kate, who is 17, who is just very fiery and vivacious. And if you have a conversation with this woman, you'll be like, whoa, girl, that's crazy. You got some wisdom. We're honored to have Kate with us. She's truly a blessing. And she's super into public speaking, as well as dancing, and she's amazing at all of that. And then I'm Greta, and I'm super into music as well, just like Erin, and singing and songwriting. And I play the harp, you know, like the big instrument, lots of strings, over like 50. And then I also sing as well, and I act. So, you know, just fun little things about all of us. But on another note, all of us have experienced temptation in some form or fashion, whether that's sexual, whether that's, you know, mental, whether it's spiritual, or whether it's like whatever that is for you. Temptations can be different for every single person, but we've noticed it affects our friends too. And how we take care of our friends and watch out for them matters. Do you care about your friends? If you do, do you care more than just asking them how they are on a surface level, or do you care about their heart? That's what we're here to talk about today, is how's your heart? How's your friend's heart? So, Erin, how do you have those conversations with your friends?
That's good. It can be tricky. It really can. I think the first thing to evaluate is, one, is that friend that you're wanting to address, what does their walk with the Lord look like? Because that will indicate really how well they're going to take your feedback, and also how to go about the situation and what you want to address with them. And so if, let's say, there may be a new Christian, maybe approaching the situation a little more broad, a little more like, I care about you and this is harming you, and so I've seen you've done these things and I just care about you so much as a person, as a friend. And I think that's important also if they're maybe walking with the Lord and they do have a strong relationship. But I think it can be a little different, and like, you may be more like, hey sis, like, I see you are doing these things and this isn't healthy for your relationship with the Lord, and this is also harmful to you. So I think definitely evaluating what their walk with the Lord looks like before speaking into their life. And so ultimately, I think speaking out of love is definitely the most important thing. That's
so good. That's so true. I love how you said just like asking him like, how's your heart? You know, like, where are you at in your walk? Like, really recognizing that too, because some people may not know the Lord on a personal level. It may just be like I go to church on Sunday or Saturday, or when I can, whenever my parents go, that's when I go. Kind of religion or aspect that they have to Christianity and faith. Or it could be that they're on a deeper level and they know the Lord just like their friend and their Savior, and they're walking with him in that way. So just having that wisdom and gentleness, which reminds me, I have a verse for you guys. It's going to be Galatians 6:1. And it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And then it goes on to say, bear one another's burdens, so to fulfill the law of Christ. So that's what we're called to do. Is to do life together, to bear each other's burdens. Like, when you see your friend that's struggling, to not just be like, oh, that sucks, Yeah, because it's just not going to do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not actually being a good friend. And we're called to bear one another's burdens. I think that's being a good friend, you know, is bearing one another's burdens, but also speaking in gentleness and in with kind words, but with the truth. Speaking the truth with love is caring for your friends. That's what I personally believe. That's what the word says here. You know, in a spirit of gentleness, like care for your friends. Like, and if they're caught in sin, like speak to them about it. Call them out. A good friend would call you out, you know? I would hope that for my other friends. It's not fun to hear what you've been doing wrong, but you'll be grateful for it, and that's how you're going to grow.
Absolutely. Yeah, really good. You reiterate the question or repeat the question for
me? Yeah. So it's just basically like, how do you talk to friends who have been struggling in sin? How do you have that honest conversation with them in love, you know?
Like she said, I think it depends on their level. Of like where they're at with the Lord. I don't want to say level, but their relationship with God. Yeah. I think also a big part of it is how close you are to them and what you really have license to say. So for example, if it were my best friend, I'd be like, hey, like, hun, that's not good. Like, you need to, you know, I love you. I'm calling this out. I want to see you do, like, I want to see you have better for yourself in life. If it were more of an acquaintance, I would say there's probably a different way to go about that. But yeah. And not just when they're walking through sin, but also when they're struggling with, like, yeah, those temptations. I've actually had multiple friends I've done this with where I've had to, like, help them walk them through it. But also, I think one of the biggest things, too, can be if you don't know how to handle a situation, guide them to someone who can. Because there are going to be things that they deal with. For example, like, some serious ones, like sexual sin, self-harm. That's the one. You know, issues in the home, things like that, that sometimes we're not gonna know. And I feel like we shouldn't have to have pressure to have all the answers. Like, that's not our job. Our job is just to point them back to Jesus. And sometimes really pointing them back to Jesus is letting them know, hey, you're loved, you're valued, I love you. Let's go bring this to someone else. Let's go bring this to our youth pastor. Let's go bring this to a healthy adult figure who can help you figure this out. So yeah, sometimes love doesn't look like us necessarily walking them through it, but bringing them to someone who can.
Absolutely. And that's wisdom too. That's like bearing their burden with them. It's like coming, it's like a visual representation of me, to me, of just like, let's go to the cross together. Let's go lay that burden down at the cross, at Jesus's feet, and leave it there, but I'll weep with you.
No, you know, real.
I'll cry with you. I'll laugh with you. I'll bear that with you. I'll carry that with you. But then let's let it go. Let's give it to the Lord. Like, and go ahead.
Some of the hardest, like one of the hardest times of my life, I'll never forget. I felt so alone. And then I opened up to people. And people started bearing my burden. And they started helping and walking me through it. They'd text me. They'd pray over me. They'd be like, hey, how are you doing? Hey, can we go, like, you want to go get lunch? Do this, do that. And I'll never forget the feeling of just being, the feeling of release of, like, oh, my goodness. Like, I don't have to bear this weight alone. Not only do I have the Lord, I have, like, an army of believers on my side who are interceding into this, who are speaking life into me when I need it. So, yeah, just speaking from personal experience. That's a big one. Sharing with community and just bearing each other's burdens.
Girl, when you say that, like, I would encourage our audience to use their voice. If you have something that you've been through or are going through, speak up. Like Lucy's saying, like, don't be afraid to share what's been going on, what you're walking through. Obviously, you need to have wisdom in that, and you need to be careful who you share with. But to find someone that you can share with, and the Lord will always hear you. And he can always reach your heart where nobody else can. But to get the help that you need, a lot of times it is helpful to speak it out. That's what the enemy wants to do is shut you up, silence your voice until you just sit still. Sit still. There's no thing that's going to help you out of this. And that's a lie. Straight from the pit, that's a lie. Because with God, all things are possible. You're not stuck in a valley alone. You're not stuck in any kind of cycle alone, any kind of harm alone. And if someone's made you feel like that, I'm sorry. It's not true. You're never alone with Christ Jesus. He says that you are never alone and he will never forsake you, but he is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And if that's you, I'm so sorry. And I just pray for peace and life to come over you and just bless you with truth and knowing who you are, and that there is freedom from your guilt. There's freedom from this cycle, whether it's done to you or you've done it to yourself. There's freedom and there's hope for your future. Don't give up. Don't give up, because your life has value.
Yes.
Your life has meaning, and there's people that love you. We love you, if anybody does. We want to be your friends. We are all friends here. Honestly, some of us just met, but we love each other already. just talking and bearing one another's burdens here and having these honest conversations. Like, I pray that for all of our viewers, that y'all would have healthy friends that love and care about you. Just that the Lord will bless you with that, because we're designed for community, aren't we?
Yeah.
Lucy, what about you? How do you respond to a friend that's struggling with something on a sexual level?
I think for me, my first step is probably like prayer, because I want to be able to let God lead me in that type of situation. And then if, like kind of Lucy was saying, depending on how close I am with them, I may bring it up. One of the ways that, especially with some of my friends who are tempted by things, I'll like text them, ask how they were doing. I know for me, one of the most encouraging things was a friend reached out to me and said, "Hey, I'm being tempted, could you pray for me?" And it was such a blessing to my spirit and my heart. Just to be able to pray for her, even if it wasn't in person, and just to be able to encourage her in the spirit, and just to pray that God would be with her.
That's so good. I relate to that too. And just how I've had some friends in the past that have struggled and struggle. I had this one friend that, you know, she was struggling with some pretty hard things, and I just knew one of her favorite things was the sunset. And every time the sun would set, I would take a picture, and I would be like thinking of you, like, did you see the sunset tonight? And it's just that little piece of hope. I would pray for her too. You don't always have to say like, "I'm praying for you." Like, I think sometimes that can be like, people might take that as like, "Oh, you're just adding to my pain."
Yeah.
You know, you're just adding to that like weight that I have. Instead of reaching them at their heart and actually like, you know, what is their love language? Is it the sunset? You know? You never know, like that could be that could save somebody. You know, and that's not your job either. I want you to know that. Like it's not your job to save other people. To bear one another's burdens doesn't mean that you go down with them. It means that you hear your friends out, you listen to them, but like Lucy was saying, you go together to get higher help from somebody that can help you both, but that means you walk with them in that, and you know you're loyal. You're not going to go talk about stuff that's going on in somebody's life to other people or your other friends unless if they have permission to share that with them, so just caring for somebody's heart in a way that matters. How would you want to be treated in that sense, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I did that with one of my friends, and another one that, you know, shared with me that they had been struggling with self-harm, and walking them through that was hard. And that leads to our next question of how do you handle it when somebody rejects your counsel, when somebody rejects your advice, or you are close to them, but they push you away because of what they're struggling with. And I had somebody like that, and I went through that with them. And you know, there was a period where I wasn't able to be close to them like I was anymore. They had put boundaries up against me, but you know what? In that time, I encouraged them to get help, and I gave them kind of some options of, you know, other people that could help them, and I prayed for them very fervently. That the Lord would just really soften their hearts and allow them to see his deep love for them mm-hmm. and know that they're not alone in their struggle mm-hmm. because it's serious. Mm-hmm. There's so many people around us that have mm-hmm. deeply heart-rooted issues on their identity. Mm-hmm. It's all stemming from who are you? Mm. You know, there's a song that Billie Eilish came out with that's like, what was I made for? Mm-hmm. And it's a whole song. It's all about it. It's like, what was I made for? What's my purpose? And that's like a viral song right now. You wonder mm-hmm. why, because people relate to it.
So good, mm-hmm. Greta.
People relate to what is my purpose and what mm-hmm. am I made for?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the answer is you're made for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a very churchy, cliche thing to say, but it's the mm-hmm. truth.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back to purpose and identity. Mm-hmm. What are you finding it in? Mm-hmm. Who are you mm-hmm. finding it in? Erin, what about you? How do you respond to somebody when they don't take your counsel?
That can be very hard. I love how you guys, both Lucy and Greta, you guys brought in, it's not up to us to fix the person. Ultimately, mm-hmm. we can't save someone. That is mm-hmm. ultimately Jesus's job, mm-hmm. And he will do that. But I also like that you mentioned pointing them to other people who may have mm-hmm. answers, because I think that is also very beneficial. In terms of people rejecting maybe your help, I think just reminding yourself, like, it's not our job. I think we put a lot of mm-hmm. pressure on ourselves yeah. to fix people, and we can only do so much. And so if they are shutting you out and they're putting up those boundaries, I think praying for them continuously. You don't have to tell them, mm-hmm. But just always praying for them is awesome. And you know, I think people who are in that situation and they feel like they can't talk to anyone, maybe they don't want to talk, but I think they will eventually come around. Sometimes it just takes some time, and yeah. some people mm-hmm. have to learn the hard way, you know, and mm-hmm. They have to process things themselves before they reach out. But I think praying for them and just telling them, like, I'm here for you if you need me. Like, my door is always open, you know, because mm-hmm. that kind of gives them that chance, like, okay, I can step out when I'm comfortable, when I'm ready. And I think more so they will hopefully come around.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Let's see, what about you? If you have any thoughts on that, or what you think our culture struggles with the most in that area. Ooh.
In the area of specifically?
In the area of like temptation.
Yeah, man, I feel like we've covered that a lot, and I think we can just keep reiterating, like, I think it goes back to the root of identity. Mm-hmm. We struggle because, or our culture, our generation, a lot, I think, struggles because mm-hmm. we're not rooted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Christianity nowadays, like, it's not popular. Mm-hmm. Like, what we believe, faith isn't popular. And so many people just ignore it, or they push it away because mm-hmm. they've had bad experiences with it. And I think it all goes back to the identity crisis is rooted in just lack of knowing who we are, lack of knowing whose we are mm-hmm. is the biggest thing, mm-hmm. I think, because mm-hmm. when you're not rooted, you sway back and forth. You're knocked back and forth by every idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the biggest bits our generation, like bits of things that our generation is facing.
Insecurity.
Yeah, the instability, insecurity, yeah. things like that.
It's very true, and I feel like our culture is so fast-paced.
Yes.
Like, everything is now, like, mm-hmm. I have to have it now. Like, mm-hmm. you got Amazon Prime, which I'm grateful for, don't get me wrong. But it's just like that mindset of... Mm-hmm. What's the word? Entitled.
Ooh, yeah.
Entitlement. Our generation is so entitled. And I felt that too, of like,
no, yeah.
I mm-hmm. want it now. I mm-hmm. want a relationship now. And then once I want the relationship, I want to be doing all these yeah. things in the relationship. That's not enough. I want, like, more clothes, or I want, you know, whatever it is yeah. that you don't have. That's constantly what you're craving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so contrary, that ideology, or that like mm-hmm. idea of entitlement that this generation, a lot of them possess, like a lot of us possess. It's so prevalent in society, and it's so against, like, it's the mm-hmm. complete opposite of what faith is, because mm-hmm. faith isn't fast-paced. It can be, I think. We all have our different journeys, but it's the gradual, it's the daily, it's the waiting, it's the developing the fruits of the Spirit, it's developing that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those big ones. It's a daily walk. It's not just an instant like, oh, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and now everything's perfect. Like, it's not that. It's Him saying, okay, let's go. Let's go on this journey together. Like, take my hand. Let's walk through this life together. And so we don't get it now. You know, instant gratification isn't really a part of Christianity. And so I think that because, yeah, again, identity, people aren't rooted. They're not grounded in what they believe. They're swayed and knocked back and forth instead of having a firm anchor to hold on to.
Yeah, and I noticed that too, like in our faith, like we're called to wait on the Lord.
Yes.
You know, it's so different from what culture does, is like the fast pace, like get it now, get it now. The Lord's like, be still before me, wait upon me, I'll meet you there, but like quiet your heart before me. And like, it is like the enemy uses our busyness to keep us from the Lord.
100%.
You know, and whatever that takes, temptation, distractions, you know, those go hand in hand, honestly. Like, the enemy doesn't know your thoughts, but he knows your patterns. He can, like, he can see what you've been, like, gravitating towards. So, like, we talked about in one episode, lust. If you're lusting after guys or, like, constantly struggling in, you know, wanting a relationship, but you're not in one, for example, and that's all you're seeking, that's what the enemy's going to use, you know? But you know what the enemy uses for harm, God can turn for good. You know what I'm saying? So, it's just truly keeping your mind on Christ and finding Him in that place of the quiet, in the stillness.
So good.
You hear His voice, like the story of Elijah, when he, this is kind of going off topic, y'all, but you can find this in, I think it's in 1 Kings. But I will double check on that. But he is running for his life, and he's used to hearing the Lord in all these big ways, and fire comes down from heaven, all these kind of things. And this queen is like, I'm going to kill you. I'm coming for your life. And he runs. He runs for his life, and he hides in a cave. First off, wait, before he hides in the cave, he gets fed by the Lord, because he's like, the Lord's like, I'm going to take care of you. This is a long journey. I'm going to take care of you. So he feeds him from ravens. He gives him bread and all that stuff to keep him going. So then he hides in a cave, and he's like, Lord, I'm scared. And the Lord didn't condemn him. But there was a fire, and the Lord wasn't in the fire. There was an earthquake. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. There was a wind, and the Lord wasn't in the wind. All these big things that you expect the Lord to be in life. It's the busyness all around you that you expect him to be in. And then in the stillness, there was a still small voice, there was a whisper. And the Lord was like, what are you doing here? That's all he heard was, what are you doing here, Elijah? So sometimes I feel like that. In the busyness that's going around you, you get scared. Like, you're used to hearing the Lord or seeing him a certain way. And that's kind of like, we can put limitations on God, but that's a whole nother topic. But like, we don't realize how much we've been struggling to meet with him. You know, until we slow down and realize that we've been distracted or we've fallen into temptation and other things have come between us. And the Lord's like, come here. I just want you. You can bring me all your baggage, but I want you.
So good.
What about you, Kate?
What was the question?
Yeah, I know. We kind of went on a little tangent there. But I asked, like, what is, like, one of the temptations our generation struggles with? But I kind of want to ask you another question, unless if you have anything to say about that, on just how to keep your friends accountable, you know, in that aspect of temptation.
I mean, first, to just start out, you have to kind of listen to them and figure out what it is they're struggling with, and even just listen to how they want you to approach that. Like, obviously, if it's kind of what we touched on, they don't want you to have anything to do with it, don't want to have anything to do with you, then you have to kind of approach it differently. But if they're open and honest and just say, hey, I'm struggling with this, could you hold me accountable? Then I think the next step is just ask them how. Whether that's through a text message, you'll just tell me when you want me to pray for you. Of course, I personally will just be praying for you all the time. But if just that, or if it's a, could you just text me and reach out to me? If it's a, we need to meet together and just kind of discuss. It really just depends on the other person and just listening to what they need in the moment. Because hopefully you're not the only person that knows outside of themselves. And so they may have other support systems for other parts of it, but just listening to them as to what they need from you, and also what the Spirit is telling you to do for them, I think.
Absolutely. That's so good. So one last question I want to ask you guys. Just before we wrap up, how do you, you know, we've been talking about like praying for our friends, you know, and keeping them accountable, but how, what does that look like for you? How do you pray for your friends? And like, yeah, how do you pray for your friends?
For me, so whenever I sit down and have my quiet time with the Lord, and I usually go through this pray model where it's like praise, repent, another, and then yourself. And so during that another category, I usually have a list of like my friends in mind, or if I've heard like prayer requests from other people, I'll just sit there, go one by one, and just like pray over my roommates, pray over my friends, and whoever has prayer requests. And if I don't know what's going on in their life and they haven't opened up to me, then I just do it like a blanket prayer, you know. I'm like, Lord, you know what's going on in their life. And so that's just my way of praying for my friends.
I love that. Depends. I mean, sometimes Holy Spirit will just bring to mind a person and I'll just start praying for them. And I don't know why. And I don't know why I'm speaking the words I'm speaking. Like, he'll just bring it to mind sometimes. And then sometimes when I'm with them, I'll literally just ask them, like, we'll be talking. I'll be like, hey, can I pray for you? Like, there's something going on in their life that they're spilling to me and talking about. And I'll be like, hey, can I pray over you? Yeah, just praying for them when you feel like they've been called to mind. And just when you feel led to pray over them in person, that's always very powerful.
Yeah, personally, how I pray is I'll definitely spend some time in my devotional time praying for certain people, and then kind of as the day or week goes on, just whatever's brought to mind. I've also found that especially if I'm in a small group and we're sharing prayer requests, I'll do my best to immediately pray for them so I don't forget. But I'll also try to pray for them throughout the week or month, and even just checking in on them, asking if there's anything they need prayer for as well.
That's so good. Those are amazing, amazing examples. Well, I thank you guys so much for joining us today on Godfident Next Generation, talking about temptation and when your friends are struggling with it and how you can care for their hearts. And being a good friend is caring for your friends and caring about them deeper than just meets the eye. So we have amazing resources for you on Godfident.org. Thanks for joining us today on this episode about temptation and with your friends. We'll see you next time. Bye.